We are continuing our series. We have been discussing up until now Yom HaAtzmaut, and the truth is we have more to say about it, but we are actually shifting just because we're in the middle of the 9 days. The people in internet land might not realize that. And therefore, it is appropriate, not just in terms of thematically, but we'll see even halachically, to discuss a little bit Yom HaShoah. The Yom HaShoah is interesting in terms of, compared to Yom HaAtzmaut, it was established by the Knesset after Yom HaAtzmaut, but truth be told, its origins, not just what it's commemorating, but the push to have a commemoration actually predates the establishment of the State of Israel. That makes sense. Even within Israel. The first issue to be discussed with Yom HaShoah really overlaps with the issue that we spend some time discussing Yom HaAtzmaut. The first issue we have with Yom HaAtzmaut is, can you add to the Jewish calendar? And we started off by discussing the Ramban. If you remember, there was we're going to read, not in this week's Parsha, next week's Parsha, about Baal Tosif. You're not allowed to add. And Rashi had the opinion you can't add within a mitzvah. You cannot have five Parshios of Tefillin. You cannot have five Minim that you shake on Sukkot. That within the mitzvah themselves, you cannot add. As opposed to Ramban, who said, no, adding a new mitzvah, that too would be Baal Tosif. And the example he gave was to make a new holiday. Right? So it would seem, based on the Ramban, that the Ramban was right on addressing the issue of Yom HaAtzmaut. And if you remember, we discussed at length, what does a new holiday mean? Right? What do we actually do on Yom HaAtzmaut, etc.? Just like there would be an issue potentially of having a new holiday, having a new fast day is really just the opposite side of the same coin. If it would be Baal Tosif to add a Yom HaAtzmaut, if it would be Baal Tosif to add Yom Yerushalayim, it would also be Tal Baal Tosif, arguably, to add a Yom HaShoah.
I don't know what that means.
Baal Tosif is Baal Tosif, we cannot add. Lehosif.
Root.
Why can't they add? I mean, we can add all of things.
Because you can't add all other things. That's actually the reason.
You can take all the tefillos and everything else. Why not?
Because there's something you're not allowed to add to the Torah. You can't start making up mitzvahs. So if I turn around and I say, not only is it a mitzvah to say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah, which it isn't, not only is it a mitzvah to say Hallel on Sukkot, but also it's a mitzvah to say Hallel on Kwanzaa,
I'm not saying
right? That too, that would be Baal Tosif. You can't just add up.
Is long enough as it is.
I've heard that from you from time to time. Right? The answer is that you cannot add, right? There are certain things that are mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah to keep Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to give money to the UJA, right? These are the basic mitzvahs that we grow up with. But to all of a sudden to add new mitzvahs.
No, we have to add.
Okay, so too, you can't add a holiday.
Right, exactly. No, you can't.
I'm glad we agree.
It's not a mitzvah.
What?
A holiday is not a mitzvah.
Like what? That? Like an
I'm
Avera?
Just saying.
Like Christmas? That would be an Avera.
No. I'm saying, can we make a holiday?
What are we going to do on this holiday?
Exactly, you're right.
Okay.
It's not working.
So, right, okay, that was the original Ramban, right? We said it outside. So he says that at the end, we'll just repeat the comment. But Yerushalmi, it turns around and says that Shmonim v'chamish is a kingdom, mehem kamen nevim ha'yim estarim al odover. Right? That even Purim was a big deal. That they didn't want to do. Right? Esther was an exception. You see from there that adding to the calendar is a problem of Baal Tosif. That is the issue. So the first most basic issue you're going to have to deal with at Yom HaShoah is whatever problem we had to deal with when it came to Yom HaAtzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim, we're going to have to deal with here. Now, let's just talk about it outside a little bit. When we spoke about Yom HaAtzmaut, a lot of people said, well, it's not really a holiday. Because what are you going to do? There's no Isser Malacha, right? They're not telling you that you're not allowed to drive a car, right? But there's no Musaf that we're adding. Right? What are we adding at the end of the day?
I would say
Hallel. Well, so Hallel perhaps, but for the people who don't say Hallel.
Torah.
Right? You know, so we said Mangal, the air show. Right, you know?
Mangal.
Right.
The plastic
right, so Mangal is a barbecue. I should translate it. What? Here, bagels. Blue and white cookies with the little flags on them. You know, so that was the argument. So
I think those hammers. Those
the plastic hammers. They were the biggest tent in Israel.
Yeah.
For many years.
It's the most
beat everybody on the head.
Where did that come from? Right. What's
the people who made those funny horns for the World Cup in South Africa, they're the same ones that made this. Thank you. I knew it was a Voon. I thought it was a Venezuela, but I knew it wasn't really that. Right. So what would the additional of a day of mourning be? Right. If I'd say, okay, you're not to make another day of mourning, what type of action would you expect there to be that to be problematic?
People work after
fasting. Fasting, right? Right, in terms of that the original plan actually for Yom HaShoah was to make it another fast day.
Really?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Every other single time someone sadly died or something happened.
Actually, they had a choice. Either you could fast one day or not eat fleishigs 2 days. Yeah, those are the choices, Shlomo. The idea was under the original plan, which was the plan, as you'll see, that Rav Herzog was floating, they were going to add a fast day to the calendar to commemorate the destruction that was Yom HaShoah. The idea that you cannot add fast days is questionable. Right? We focused on whether or not you can add holidays. We spoke about Hanukkah, we spoke about Purim as later added holidays. What about when it comes to fast days? So according to the Torah, how many fast days do we have?
Four, five.
Yeah, in the Torah?
Oh, in the Torah, just one.
Kippur, Tisha B'Av.
Just one.
One. Yom Kippur, that's it. Right? Nothing, everything else
so
is commemorated. So that's what the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says. The Amar of Chana Barbizna or Rav Shimon Chasida, Maidiksev, Koamar Hashem Tzvakos, Tzoma Revi, Vitzoma Chamishi, Vitzoma Shvi, Vitzoma Asiri, Yel Reves Yehud Rasasam Rosemcha. It says in Zechariah that the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth month, and the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth month, these will all be days that we will celebrate. What is the fourth month of the calendar? We're starting from Nisan. Tammuz. So the fast of the fourth month is? And the fast of the fifth month is? And the fast of the seventh month is?
Yom Kippur.
Tzom Gedalia, correct.
What's the fourth month? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
The fourth one was Tammuz.
Tammuz, okay.
Right? And the tenth month is? Asara B'Tevis, right? These were all added by when? By the Nevi'im. These are also post-biblical, shall we say, in terms of we assume that the Torah defined the Bible as the Torah, not Tanakh. So the Gemara, the Pasuk says that all these days, which are days of Avel, days of mourning, will become days of Sason v'Simcha. So Kari Lehu Tzom v'Kari Lehu Simcha Sason v'Simcha. So how can you have both? So the Gemara says, Bizman Shiei Shalom Yilu Sason v'Simcha. In fact, when things are good, you don't have to fast on these days. Ain't shalom tzom, but if times are tough, then you do have to fast. Amar papa hokav bizman sheyesh shalom yulis also simcha sheyesh shmad tzom. Depends how we're doing. If we're assimilating, that's problems. Ain't shmad ve'ain shalom. What if it's not peaceful, but also people aren't assimilating? Ratzu misadim, ratzu ein misadim. Then you have a choice. You want to fast good. If not, no problem. So say yehachi tisha b'av nami. So tell me, can we just write off Tisha B'Av like this? So Mar Papa Shani Tisha B'Av Hoel Ve'Huch B'Lu Botzaris. Tisha B'Av you never get out of. Tisha B'Av such a bad day, things could be perfect. You're still going to have to fast. Now Amar B'Tisha B'Av Chara Bayis Habayis B'Rishon U'V'Shniyah V'Nokudah Beitav V'Necher Shoyer. Things are really, really tough. So the first question that you can ask about this is: it seems that all of the fasts were actually added later on. Now, they were added by the Nevi'im, which you might want to argue is different than having an addition by us. But on the other hand, if we couldn't do it, why couldn't the Nevi'im do it? Right? We don't have a discussion that there was a drasha from the Torah like we have in by the Megillah. So that's one point. Beyond those fasts, it would seem that over the years, other fasts have been added. If you look at the Magen Avraham in number 3, the Magen Avraham says, Kasav Hatanya B'yom HaShishi Parshas Chukas Nagu Yechidun L'sanesh B'yosiyam Nisrafu Kaf Kronos Maleim Svar Mitzarfas. On the Friday before Parshas Chukas, and many people like to fast. Not they like to fast, but they do fast. Why? Because that is the time that the wagon loads of Svarim were burnt in France. Right? We mentioned this in the Kinnis on Tisha B'Av. Well, Kavu also be Meha Chodesh B'Disha Mitoch She'er Ascharom No Dalahem She'yom HaParsha Garim Gezerah HaTorah. So why is it every Friday before Parshas Chukas? Shouldn't it be whatever date in Sivan it is, etc.? Tammuz, whatever Chukas falls out. So no, they had a dream someone had that it has to do with the Parsha. It's the day before the Parsha. Gezerah HaTorah is those Chukas HaTorah. Metagamino do Gezerah Saraisa. Okay. V'gam b'shnash tach necher v'shnei kiros gedolos ba'oso hayom. Year tach was what? Anybody knows? 1648. Tach v'tat. Correct. What was tach? Because there was tach v'tat, also known as the Chamelniki massacres, right? Terrible pogroms. So after those pogroms, there were the Taz, the Shach, set up another fast day to commemorate that. K'moshe kaseh b'slichu shachaver ba'ach hashach. Gam noegim lesanos esrim besiva b'chol malchus pole nara pasha rafa shireya kimata. So the Gemara, so the Magen Avraham says that over the years many people have set up fast days. The fact that people set up fast days indicates that the Shach, the Taz, were not concerned about the fact of Baal Tosif because they edited it. Now we don't want to play rank the tragedy, but one could make a reasonable argument that the Holocaust was at least on the level of the massacres.
Yes.
So, with that in mind, the question is, if they added fast days for the Chamelniki massacres, and for other things as well, we should, arguably, I don't know if it's a Kal Vachomer. Again, I don't want to rank the tragedies, but it would seem reasonable to also consider it. So that was the idea of Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog came up with this idea. He started pressing it in 1944, in the middle of the Holocaust. He wanted to start it right there and then.
Is it any different in theory than by the time of Esther, where she encourages everyone to go fast because
yes, it's very different because we didn't do it the next year. One time she said, "Well, for the time being, we're in dire straits right now. We need to fast." But the next year they weren't fasting, and the year after, and the year after they weren't fasting.
So based on the amount of unfortunate situations that happened to Jewish people, there would be in Dover self. There'd be a fast all the time.
So let's see. So, Rav Herzog, at the time, it would seem, based on his writings and writings of other people at the time, was pursuing this very seriously. And eventually he wrote it up in his Tshuva Sefer, the Heichal Yitzchak. We give you part of it. Le'inyan kviyas tainus l'doros. Can you set up a fast day that will be intact for the generations to come? In b'zeh yesh chashasho lo sosifu l'das ha-Ramban. So he said he understands his problem is this Ramban in Parshas Veschanan. Hinei im kein kosher gam al dalet zavos. He said, what are you asking me? According to the Ramban, ask him about the other ones. Ask him about Shiva Sabatavos. Ask him about Torah Sarbateves. Shema Torah elu Nevi'im tiknum. Say, you're going to tell me that those were Nevi'im? Hagufa kasha. Hello, ain't no Yerushal Chai Dover Me'ata. So if it's also, how were they allowed to do it? It's not a free pass being a Navi. You can do whatever you want. While karchas achas mishtei era, oh shekevin shasidin libata begulasun shal Yisrael einze v'chalos osifu. He said one possibility is what's going to happen. God willing, very soon the Mashiach is going to come. And what's going to happen with Asar B'Tavis then? What's going to happen with Shivas B'Tamas then?
They're out.
So again, so perhaps the answer is you can only not add something which is permanent. And these fast days are not permanent. That's one answer.
What about Tisha
B'Av? Tisha B'Av is also going to go.
Yeah.
Tisha B'Av is known as the future festival. We don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av. Right? Because it's a Moed. That's one answer. Then he says, but even the case of Tisha B'Av is going to be done. So Yom HaShoah. We're going to make Yom HaShoah a fast day. Are we going to keep on fasting Yom HaShoah when the Mashiach comes?
No.
No. So okay. So we're good. That's one answer. Or perhaps, why do we fast on the fast days that they set up? Because that's a way of doing repentance. It's a way of doing tshuva. Shere Ramba Moba came by Reish Shochas Tainus. Veinzel Safa Osavus Chuvim came. Gam Benidol Shiv Neno came. Said also here, why should we fast on Yom HaShoah? Also for Tshuva. So therefore, he's not bothered by that. So at the end, he says, "V'ha'ikir ledaiti she'en kan chashach lefi das Ramban ho v'akavon hilorer v'chuva k'roshono azol shor abeinu adamu." He says, the bottom line is, I don't think that there is a problem at all.
Wait, tshuva for what they did to cause the tragedy, or tshuva for what was...
In general, though, that we should be moved by seeing that what happened. We should try to make ourselves better people.
It's also not about remembering or memory.
Right? Fasting wouldn't be about remembering.
No, but having the holiday is about remembering or not.
I wouldn't call it a holiday.
A commemoration.
Right, so he's saying that we're talking about the idea of fasting in particular. So he's saying,
okay, I get it. Sorry.
He said that's the idea of, right? He thinks that's why we do it. V'chum b'chorben kezer al Yisrael miyom shenichar beis hamikdash meher yibana, and we've never had so bad since the destruction of beis hamikdash as the Holocaust. V'sal v'sorach b'tshuva shana shana al osan achorben hanora v'ayayom shabal einu v'avnos einu. So he seems to be saying that, you know, there was a reason why it happened, so therefore we have to do tshuva. He said, if you want to be careful about it, you can say, we're only going to set up this fast for a certain amount of time. What amount of time? Ad sof tekuva yedua. So what does he suggest? Kagod ad shnas tov shenun. Tav Shinun is, was, will be?
It was 1990.
So the idea was that you should set up Yom HaShoah to expire in 1990. That was Rav Herzog's idea.
Why 1990?
I have no idea. He says, pick at about the time. He says, until Tav Shinun.
Right?
So that case, if you just set it up temporarily, no one's going to say it's a problem. So let's set up Yom HaShoah. This is in 1944. Gets up and says, let's do it until 1990. Right? And therefore, it won't be Baal Tosef if it's only a temporary thing. Everyone agrees you can do a temporary thing. What? All excellent questions, but this is it. This
is what time is it?
Right.
Right. It's also past generations at 45 years.
Right. So this was his idea. Now
interesting idea.
Now this is fascinating. And eventually though he backs off. And the reason for backing off is unexpected. Someone had the following claim against me. The war's not over yet. It's 1944. And maybe the war will end with Mashiach coming. Let's hold off until we see how this war ends. That makes sense. I should think about it. That's it. So he turns around and he says, you know what? Based on that, you're right, I'm backing down. I'm not going to be kovei anything. He was the chief rabbi of Palestine at the time. It wasn't yet Israel. What's interesting...
Yeah, he was the rabbi in Dublin.
Right, but by...
When did he become chief rabbi?
39, right, after Rav Kook passed away. So, interestingly, in 1944, when he's doing this, he backs off based on that logic. Now, he remained chief rabbi until he passed away, what, in 59? No, not a little further.
But Unterman was already the chief rabbi in the mid-50s.
Yeah?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, all the hachlatot were in 51. It was a little bit.
He might have been still the chief rabbi.
Right. 50, I think for sure he was. Maybe 53. F. Shalavure. Thank you, Shlomo. So these are things that you can look up. But he was definitely, in 1948, he was definitely the chief rabbi.
Yeah.
And in 1948, the war was very over.
1967,
okay, and in 2012, he wasn't either.
Right.
What?
Right,
but the Holocaust... What?
He was 1959. Until 1959.
Right, as I said, until the end of the 50s.
Right,
so that's a lot of years after the Holocaust.
From 36 until 59.
So what's fascinating is that he did not come back to this afterwards, even though the accepted argument for not being koveya, for not setting a fast day for the Holocaust, was because of, we don't know how it's going to turn out. He was chief rabbi for well over a decade afterwards.
Almost 15 years.
And still he did not revisit the issue.
So was there not Yom HaShoah in 59?
So again, in terms of having a fast day, there never was.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, what eventually did happen is, even though this was not supported officially by the Rabbanut, the Knesset on their own established Yom HaShoah without the support of the chief rabbinate.
What year?
What?
What year?
I think 51 was the first time that they mentioned it. Now, there was a fair amount of debate. There's a lot to be said about it. The first question is, what date do you pick? The initial date that they started it was Yud Dalet Nisan. Why Yud Dalet Nisan? Yud Dalet Nisan was the day of the beginning of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. And the name of the holiday officially, according to the Knesset, is Yom HaShoah V'Hagvura. Right? They add the important word, V'Hagvura, right? Because they want to show that they fought back. So therefore, they picked the date of the Warsaw Ghetto. Now, Yud Dalet Nisan is already on the calendar because it is Erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach was really not the best day to pick for this. Right? So there was a lot of opposition to that. So eventually they pushed it to Chaf Zion Nisan. What happened on Chaf Zion Nisan?
Did it get a fall?
No, absolutely nothing happened. Okay. There is no relevance to that date whatsoever. It was a randomly picked day that would be
just the week after Pesach.
After Pesach, but before Yom HaAtzmaut, which is coming up a week or so after that, they kind of randomly picked the date and they plopped it down there. Right? This wasn't a matter of Zionist, not Zionist. This was a matter of Knesset Rabbanut. Even the Rabbanut itself did in no way had checked off on this, what to do. So with that, there was a lot of questions, what to do. Going back for a little bit of perspective, when Rav Herzog was trying to push his idea, he went around to the rabbinic leaders of the time. We have records of some of the responses. The first responses of the Brisker Rav, The Briska Rav was Rav Velvel Soloveitchik. Rav Velvel Soloveitchik was the son of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the brother of, the uncle of the Rav. Right? That, so that he, so and he was a great Talmud Chacham, a rabbinic leader in Bnei Brak. So this goes back to 1943. In 1943, Rav Herzog went to meet with the Briska Rav to get his support. Now, again, obviously this has nothing to do with Zionism. The State of Israel did not exist at the time. This is in the middle of the war still. They meet, and this is recounted, I give you here, from Rav Sternbuch, but the truth be told that this was, in fact, recounted in many other places as well. So this is a question that Rav Sternbach got. He says, "Uvdesh haya etzel marana agoin Rav Griz Soloveitchik mibrisk b'snaf tafshin gimel she'agil ha'aretz shmua she'ribei revavo salchino nishchotim nidvachim." When this is 43, when in Eretz Yisrael, in the Yishuv, they were first finding out what was going on. Harav Herzog Zal ba'al maran zatzal. Maran Zatzal is nagid v'omash asur hosif al yemei ha'evil. So you're not allowed to add to it. Shalos sa'ano efo zek katuv. Said so. The Rav Herzog said, "Vushdate, where's it written that you're not allowed to add?" So he gave him the following answer. Amaro ha'griz Zatzal hakina shanu omrim betishabav aharuge malchus. Vermeiza v'ashpira shenirtzachu b'me iyer v'siva and mekonin sham.
This is Rabbi Soloveitchik speaking, yes?
Yes.
He's saying
that we say it in the kinnas. There's a kinna that we add for the communities that were killed in the Crusades. Shari srufa v'esh. This isn't shari srufa v'esh. It's nothing to shari srufa v'esh. This is Mi Yitei Mekor Eini Deim.
Yeah. But he's the one who put it together. The
right, so we're talking about the Takon Hashum. We're talking about the Crusades. And it says there, Simono Alevavchem Misbeid Mar L'Koshra Kishkula Hariga Son L'Hisabel L'Hit Afar Ibtapara Kisreifas Bes Orkeina Ha'ulam V'Abira Ki'emo Hosif Mo'ed Shevra V'Tavira. Says that the death of these people is as bad as the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And we have to say it today. Why? Because you cannot add another day of mourning. It says that specifically in the kinos.
So what?
Right. The kino was made by someone at some point. What's the point of that?
Right. Ein mosiv lasos yom evel v'hesbet al gzeros v'ein lahaktim zu osi acharo. Tachas kol ha'yom
l'viyasi
ha'era.
Exactly what Tisha B'Av is all about.
What?
I understand the whole concept of Tisha B'Av and Kinos is exactly this point. It's some form of a velus, some type of remembrance.
Okay.
So what's the issue?
The issue is that all remembrances, right? The destruction, the Crusades did not happen on Tisha B'Av, right? The burning of the wagon loads of Svarim did not happen on Tisha B'Av.
Right.
Right? Right? The 10 tribes going into Golis, it did not happen on Tisha B'Av.
So what he wants.
But we mourn them all on Tisha B'Av. Why do we not have a day for the times that the Esar Shvatim went into Golis?
Tisha B'Av's about. Tisha B'Av's about.
We have so many.
Right? So the idea
is. We've thrown it all into Tisha B'Av, but that's not what Tisha B'Av's about.
So the assumption is, what he said, is that we do not add days of Avelos. That Tisha B'Av is the day of Avelos Klali. Of that, everything goes into it. Nothing gets its own. Right? The Crusades didn't get their own. Right?
But doesn't that take away from what the whole concept of Tisha B'Av is supposed
to
be about? The Horban Beis HaMikdash.
We believe that what happens is because we were in Golis. We believe that the Holocaust happened because there was no Beis HaMikdash and we were in Golis. We believe that the Crusades happened. We believe that the Chalmoniki massacres happened. We believe all of this, that this is all a part of the fact that we are in Golis, that we are in exile right now.
So why did they make Yom HaShoah on Shiva's Arba Thomas?
Oh, that's a good question.
A lot of things happen on Shiva's Arba Thomas that they add on.
So okay. So in fact, you should know that there are people that in that. So again, if anything, the Haredi community in Eretz Yisrael was hit harder by the Holocaust than the non-Haredi community. So it's not that they're trying to ignore the Holocaust. It's not that they're downplaying it, but they in fact do commemorate it on Asar B'Tavis. They do. That's exactly that's what they're saying. You can't add a day. You can't add a Yom HaShoah. And I remember when I was in yeshiva, and I was in Keren B'Yavne, the Rosh Yeshiva got up on Asar B'Tavis, and he spoke about the Holocaust. Explained to us. I had never heard of that before. I didn't see it coming. Right? Beis Yaakov's do it that way. So that's what he said. You can't have a Yom HaShoah, the Brisker Rav said, because this is a matter of we don't add days of Avelos.
But so why didn't it get into Tisha B'Av?
It does. That's what he was saying. Put it into tissue. That's why we're discussing it today.
Okay.
I understand the concept, but the idea that when asked where is it stated, he's citing a Kuna as if that's a halakhic source. Right. I find that question.
Okay, well, let's go on and see what other people say about this.
So why would a... we discussed a couple of weeks ago with a simcha, a good thing, you can, if it happened to enough people, you can do your own thing. You can, if it's a big community, you can do it.
If I remember, we started by saying that was this was a question there as well.
Right.
But
it depends how much. The Shoah happened to enough people that it was, unfortunately, it was a tragedy.
Right. But on the other hand, we before we discussed this idea of whether in order to answer the count it happened to the entire Klal Yisrael, the Shoah did not happen to the entire Klal Yisrael.
The
United States? There's a fellow that used to go for YU, Hillel Davis.
What?
So one time I was with Hillel in his office and he tells me I just got the funniest phone call. His daughter was in Poland, they were on March of the Living. And she said, "Dad, didn't we have anybody who died in the Holocaust? Because they were Americans for generations," he comes from. He said, "Sorry. we know people, but aren't our family."
Exactly. So that's my point. The whole Klal Yisrael was affected.
No, it wasn't that. No, you just said it, the exact opposite of what I said. Right?
Huh?
I said it wasn't, right? Right? Okay. Right? Svardim were not really affected by it.
Yes, they were.
Okay, but the Iranian community and the Syrian community and the Libyan community and the Moroccan community and the Tunisian community? Right. Right. The Yemenite community? Okay. Right, but even Ashkenazi communities, South Africa wasn't affected. The United States wasn't affected. Canada wasn't affected.
Mexico
was not affected. I just wasn't sure if they were Ashkenaz. That's why I held off on saying that.
Right.
Right.
Even families in the United States for generations, it's a rare family where everybody came
from. Right.
My grandparents were here, but all the aunts and uncles and cousins were. I think most families were affected, if not directly.
To say everybody. Right. I don't know, Billy Heller's family? I think he came over on the Mayflower, I think. They didn't speak English for 300 years until afterwards, but still. So.
Actually, his mother was European. She came because of
me. Okay. So, I just went to visit her today.
Oh, yeah.
So, that was the approach of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav said that all tragedies go into Tisha B'Av. Period. He then went to speak to the Chazon Ish. Okay? And the Chazon Ish, this is written over in the Tshuva K'Savim, also in the Igros, also in B'nai Brak, same time. Tshuva b'dava linog avelos v'kvora tainis tzibor achorben Europa al pi ha'Torah inyane ha'halacha k'vuim heim.
So
said the bottom line is, it's not that we're not feeling the pain, but there are rules here. She'ikaron b'ksava peirushin b'tor shebal peh. It's written out, it's explained. V'af navi ein rashay l'chadesh. And even if you're a navi, you can't add to it. Ad she'matzol hem smach b'tor g'shim she'agiron b'chal n'liza me'atara kacha osofa ala mitzvah torah n'liza me'atara. Just like you can't do less mitzvahs, you can't do more mitzvahs. So you need somebody of great stature to determine whether or not adding averos here would be appropriate. If you're supposed to, you don't need my haskama. If you're not supposed to, you don't do it. The bottom line is, there is nobody at this point who is great enough to make this determination. Better that we should keep quiet at this point. Who are we to set up what they're supposed to be doing for generations to do? So the Chazon Ish also did not support the idea, but from a different angle. He turned around, he seemed to say that theoretically it would be possible if you had people of a certain stature. And he said, in this generation, we do not have people of that stature. Now, the Chazon Ish was undoubtedly considered, at that point, the Gadol Hador.
Would the Sanhedrin have the authority to add a
fasting? Yeah, I think he was saying
that. He had a Sanhedrin.
Right. He said, theoretically, yes. But he said that he would not take it upon himself, and he would not accept it.
There would be no issue with a community or an individual taking the fast, but it could be for all of Klal Yisrael.
Right, if you want to volunteer one, by all means, you always have a right to volunteer a fast.
The community that was wiped out or suffered huge losses.
Right.
Right.
Not to set it on the calendar that one has to do
so
it.
So then how do we fast when, say, for Torah or other things? That seems like it doesn't come from any pasuk in the Torah. Granted, it's out of
respect. So again, to quote what Carl just said, that's not a problem. If a Sefer Torah Chas V'Shalom falls, and we announce, okay, now we have to fast every Simchas Torah from here on in, and everybody has to do it in the world, that would be a problem.
Right.
But if you have a bad dream, so you fast. It doesn't affect the rest of us.
So, in theory, a community like could have, on their own, came and took this fast on a Treblinka, Maidan. They could have not taken on
Denver. Denver could get up and say, we feel terrible about it.
Lost the Super Bowl. So
right. Yeah, you want to do that? So we have to do tshuva. That's the only way. So, next person to discuss this is Moshe Feinstein. The Tam Shal Tiknu Yom Kavur Latinus the Tfil Lezecha Haruge HaShoah. But Moshe, I should note, wrote this tshuva in the 80s. I believe 81, 82. And it wasn't published until the posthumous Igros Moshe's. So many people have issues with the posthumous Igros Moshe's. In general, there's a rule. If a person doesn't publish something when they're alive, there's a reason for it. If they didn't want to publish it, you shouldn't publish it afterwards.
So this is in Chas or Tess? Whatever.
Right, this is in Chas, right? However, in a case where the tshuva was actually written after the last volume was published, there is some more validity to this. Because there's a sense, why didn't he publish it? Well, this came afterwards. He didn't get around to publishing that last volume. And this was published in other places besides the Igros Moshe. But Tam Shlo Tiknu Yom Kavu Latanz Tzvil Lezech Haruge HaShoah. B'dvar Gzesh Baram Seinu Aravim Nergu Erech Asara Pamim She'esh Ribu. We're talking 10 times the 600,000 that left Mitzrayim. Idea Rishon Hitler v'chaver of Yemach Shemo. Shemarah harei haya tzorech eze yom kavu l'tainus l'tfilah shetom amarkos al redayin l'nasa klum. It's already the 1980s, he says. How come we never got around to do something about this? Hinei bekina shekol Yisrael omrim betisha ba'av mefur shemashal otiknu yom miyuchah letanus b'chiyo al gezeros ma'asos hatzlav. The reason that they never put up a date for the Crusades. Shayu ha'gezeros b'chol medina yur b'shar garu b'hem sham rov yehudim v'nechru kama ayos v'krachim. Huge swaths of Europe were wiped out during the Crusades. Nikra Hashem Shash Tatnu. Begamber Tisrael Gusham Harbe Yehudim. And the Crusades went into Israel as well. Meshum de Emlikvor, Yod Yom Otanus Rebechi, Shorchein Tzorch, Askirim Bekinos, the Omer Betisha Bov Al Cholen Mikdash. This sounds a lot like the opinion of the Brisker Rav.
The last part.
He said that all of these things are subsumed by Tisha B'av. Tisha B'av subsumes everything. Rosh HaKazakin, Shinergu, Ukraine, V'chelek Poland. This isn't like the Chmelnytsky massacres, which killed people in Ukraine and in Poland. Shekov v'shem Yom Taimus v'Amir Slichos. There they added a day, so he refers to that. Shem Shlo Haisal Zog Zera Klovis, Kuzeres HaGolos V'Achorban. So that was different. He said Chmelnytsky was different than Hitler. Why? Hitler was a legal government. Whenever we are attacked by a legal government, that is part of the Golos. Moshe says, as opposed to if some nut job goes on his own, that's not necessarily part of the Golos. That might be something unrelated.
What about invasion from a legal government?
That's fine. War is a war.
Well, no, I was thinking Babylonia. So
what?
They came what? And took
that's
it.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Got it.
So that's where Moshe says. Moshe really agrees with this idea. Now, beyond the issue of whether you can add or not, the choice of date is very problematic. Because as we know, I give you sources 8 and 9, but you all know this, there's no Avelos in Nisan. Right? So, Ein Ofim Al Pneim B'chol Chodesh Nisan. We don't say Tachnu Nisan. Ein Om Tzidkoscha B'Tshabbos B'Mincha. Ein Maspidim Bo. We don't make a Hesped in Nisan. Ein Mes'anim Bo L'Haskir B'Tzibor. And we don't have public fast days. And the Mishnah Berurah adds on. Right? What else do we do? We in Maskir Bar Neshamas, we don't do Kalmolis, etc. So Nisan is a month where we don't do it. So this was a particularly bad choice, given the fact that you're commemorating nothing. Like, why in the world did you have to pick Chav Zayin Nisan out of all the dates?
It sounds like they wanted it near Yom HaShoah.
Rabbi J.J. Schacht, if anyone's interested, wrote an excellent article on this. He give you part of it. And he lists off here the top 10 reasons, Dave Letterman's top 10 reasons why people don't follow Yom HaShoah. Right? Number one, the Holocaust is not a unique event requiring its own separate day of commemoration. Right? That's what we said from the Brisker Rav. Tisha B'Av subsumes everything. Two, it is inappropriate to commemorate the Holocaust in Nisan. Right? Same issue that we just mentioned. Right? Some of these, I'll read you the list. Some of them you can agree with. You don't have to agree with all of them. Yom HaShoah is nothing more than an invention of the secular Zionist Knesset. And since when do the secularists, and anti-religious ones at that, have any religious authority to establish a day? Or anything, even the slightest religious significance? Four, this is something that actually survivors take a little bit of an issue with. The official name of the day, Yom HaShoah V'Agvura, as well as its close proximity to the anniversary of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising preceding it, is offensive because it privileges armed resistance over more spiritual forms of heroism. Genuine Jewish heroism entails living a life of morality, optimism, and hope in maintaining a will to live with human decency in the face of the most unspeakable bestiality, lining up for hours to have 1 minute with a pair of tefillin, smuggling a chauffeur into concentration camp, sharing half a piece of bread with a starving barracks maid, and more. These are examples of real Jewish heroism. Five, its close proximity to Yom HaTzmut. Finally, he gives the offensive impression that the Holocaust was a necessary prelude to the founding of the State of Israel. Right? Etc., etc. You can read the rest on your own. So based on this, Yom HaShoah is very problematic. Of course, whenever we do this, any good modern Orthodox Jew will have to ask the question of...
What did the Rav say?
What did the Rav say? So the Rav actually discussed this at length. We first give you Rav Schechter's version of what the Rav said in number 11.
And give us Rav Rakevitz.
Where he says as follows: Mishnos Hashoah ve'Elach Helu Kama Pamim Asat Salik Vo Yom Evel Miyuchel Chorban Europa. Over the years, there were many times where they suggested, "Why don't we set up a date to commemorate the Holocaust?" V'Tamid Ha'isat Chuvas Rabbeinu Al Pi Masha Nachnu Omer Bikina Letishabav Shenischabra Al Kadosh Hashpira Ve'Ma'izu Magensa Amachil Mi Yitain Roshi Mayim V'Chi Ein Lo Hosev Moed Shever V'Taveira. Rav Soloveitchik exactly followed the opinion of the Brisker of his uncle. That in fact, based on the kina, you cannot add days of mourning. Bottom line is the Rav said straight out, no dice. Tisha B'Av is the day that we discuss the Holocaust. Tisha B'Av is the day that we commemorate it, that we mourn it. We do not add another day. In Rabbi Aaron Ziegler's Halachic Positions of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, Volume 4, which is available in our library, as is the Nefesh HaRav, he has it, but he has one or two interesting twists on it. Rabbi Soloveitchik felt very strongly that we should not create a separate day of mourning for the Shoah. He agrees with that. It seems that, according to Rabbi Schechter, Rav said it maybe 20 times that he could point to. Rather, we should incorporate the Yom HaShoah into our observance of Tisha B'Av. As a matter of fact, when Prime Minister Menachem Begin met with the Rav during a visit to the United States, Rav Soloveitchik convinced the Prime Minister to change the date of Yom HaShoah to the 9th of Av, integrating it with Tisha B'Av. Fascinating. When Menachem Begin returned to Israel, he tried to convince the appropriate authorities to make the change.
So what year is this before he's Prime Minister?
This is when he's Prime Minister.
It is?
77, I believe it is. The government of Israel decided not to make the change because of pragmatic concerns. The Israeli education system would not have the opportunity to teach about the Holocaust, and Tisha B'Av is observed when the Israeli schools are closed on vacation. Consequently, the Rav believed that until the change is made, we should continue to observe Yom HaShoah on the 27th of Nisan. This is an addition to what Rav Schechter reported. For it's better to remember the Holocaust on Yom HaShoah with the rest of the Jewish community than to neglect it entirely. Furthermore, one who studies about the Nazi Holocaust fulfills the myths of remembering what Amalek did to us. For anyone who identifies with the ideology of Amalek has the halachic status of Amalek.
Who ended this volume?
I mean, Aaron Ziegler, who I knew as Ronnie Ziegler when we were in MTA together. A good, good fellow. He was actually in Denver not long ago. I think in the last year or two, him and his wife, Yael, were here. So that is his understanding. So it's interesting. So what becomes of this is basically there is really no halachic authority that accepts Yom HaShoah. This isn't like Yom HaAtzmaut, where the Rabbanut supports it, but other people don't support it, and some people support it a little bit, and some people support it more with halal, without halal. Really, there's no halachic source that supports Yom HaShoah. Yom HaShoah was an invention of the Knesset without consultation of the Rabbanut. Now, the only question is, once we have it, what do we do with it? That is the question. However, if anyone gets up and publicly speaks against Yom HaShoah, you would do better to speak out against mothers and apple pie. Right? There is nothing more offensive to people than to say that there's a problem with commemorating Yom HaShoah. So therefore, people are wise enough to keep their mouth shut. But from a strictly learning historic point of view, this is very problematic. Rather, this week, we should focus on it more. Now, again, the Holocaust should not take over Tisha B'Av. Right? There's plenty of other things, but then again, it should be noted appropriately in Tisha B'Av as well. Again, Tisha B'Av should not take over the Holocaust, and the Holocaust, on the other hand, should not take over Tisha B'Av, right? The Holocaust should be given its rightful place next to Crusades, next to the various massacres, next to the loss of the 10 tribes, and of course, on top of it all, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because that is our belief. One of the reasons, one of the major reasons why a lot of people don't understand, well, why are we praying for the Beis HaMikdash?
So
we don't have karbanos anymore. All right, I guess it would be good to have them, but you know, I think I'm doing okay without it. The answer is no, to understanding that the Beis HaMikdash is representative of the relationship that we have with God and the protection that we have of God that has been missing, and this is what has happened. I added one more source. It's actually part of the J.J. Schechter article. It's just a very interesting point. It seems that no one disagrees with the facts that Menachem Begin met with the Rav. And no one disagrees that Menachem Begin, after meeting with the Rav, went to the Knesset and requested that Yom HaShoah be taken off the books and replaced with Tisha B'Av. That is historically accurate. He points out that that's fascinating because of all of the prime ministers that Israel has ever had and ever will have, I could say probably with a fair amount of certainty, the one that was affected the most by the Holocaust was Menachem Begin, without a question. Yeah. Given where he came from, etc., Menachem Begin was personally very affected by the Holocaust. He was a person, he's not a person who took the Holocaust lightly. It very much molded his entire political philosophy.
He invoked them often when
right,
he speaks.
Correct.
I heard him speak many times.
Right, this was, because this is who he did. The fact that he was so hawkish was because of the Holocaust. The fact, so I think that's a very strong statement that he would be the one to turn around and say, we don't need this Yom HaShoah thing. Right? It should be part of Tisha B'Av. You know, and many secularists were shocked by it. But I think that's the idea. The fact is that the issues that Yom HaShoah has, and people who, in fact, aren't comfortable with Yom HaShoah, right? It's not because they're belittling the Holocaust. These issues predated it. These are halachic issues. And in fact, you know, even the people that are anti-Medina, whatever, they were more affected by the Holocaust. These are people, you can't go to a Siyum HaShas that isn't taken over by the Holocaust to this day. But the bottom line is there's an appropriateness. And again, that's why we discuss it now, because this is what Tisha B'Av is. Tisha B'Av isn't what happened 2,000 years ago. Tisha B'Av is what happened 2,000 years ago, and it is affecting us to this day. And you know, and what happened throughout history, and one could argue what's happening throughout, what happens in France, what happens in Israel, what happens all over, is related to that as well. And that's exactly the message. It's not that you know, we had a Holocaust and it was unrelated to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. No, they're very well related.
So as we commemorate nowadays, let's say we were to take out all the Yizkor parts of it, meaning we wouldn't say the Yizkor that, and the Kalmullis, whatever it is.
So what are we going to do?
Let's just say it was a day that they got up and spoke about the concept just for the next generation's purposes or for the sake of the survivors. Would there be anything wrong with that?
So there's, again, the idea was that many people said it has to be Tisha B'Av. In the Beis Yaakov Charedi community, they moved it to Asara B'Teves. Right. The reason they did that is because it can have more prominence there. Right on that day of Asara B'Teves, that is the day which is far more appropriate than picking the 27th day of Nisan.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not saying that the 27th of Nisan has any specific relevance. But my point is, can it just be discussed on that date? Any specific
why?
Day in general?
I mean, again, why would you want to go and do something mournful in the middle of Nisan?
Okay, so it doesn't have to be Nisan, but I think it should not necessarily be on the other two because it gets lost when those two.
Again, it does not get lost on Asara B'Teves, right? What did we commemorate on Asara B'Teves? What did the Denver community do for Asara B'Teves this year?
Nothing.
Hopefully some people remember it to fast. That's the best case scenario.
Besides fasting, what else are we doing?
Right. People don't really, you don't focus on why you're fasting, etc.
Right.
So that's why this would probably
but
be
I like
more
that it's close to Yom HaShoah. Yom HaShoah.
Right, but it's interesting. But a lot of people don't like
what
that.
You're saying.
A lot of people specifically don't like them.
Okay.